Damnation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Yes. 800-222-KBC, 1-800-222-5222, if you would like to be on the program today. Also, you may email me, sam@samnation.com. And we do get to those emails during the course of the program. So if you have something to, an issue to raise, a concern, or want to tell me I'm wrong. Of course, I am rarely wrong and always right. So here's what's going on right now. There are a lot of people on Google. Did you see this in the news? Apparently, Google searches for World War III have hit a record peak. Which, of course, is to say that there are a lot of people online wondering, you know, is the world really going to be engulfed in a giant torrent of conflict? And it's interesting. Why are they doing that? Well, it's simple. There's all these different flashpoints. You've got Syria. You have Russia. You have Iran. You have North Korea and China. They're mostly nuclear powers that we believe, right? So it's a problem, and people are concerned. Now, here is what's going to happen. I will tell you, don't worry. This is why you're tuned in. I'm going to tell you why this is, the hype is obviously overblown. But I'm going to tell you how this is all going to play out. There's no. I'm putting away the crystal ball. It's not a crystal ball kind of thing. I see the wisdom in what is being done. And I'm going to tell you right now that Trump is playing chess. He's playing chess. He's moving around these pieces. And in the last week, you've actually seen more chess moves coming from this administration than you realize. Because a lot of these moves, by the way, are being billed as flip-flops, or being billed as, as knee-jerk, or billed as, the media tries to explain them to you as being perhaps even ad hoc, just kind of thrown together and not being of any particular consequence. The problem is that Obama, while Trump has played chess here, this is the thing. 8 years, Obama, he was playing checkers. It was so silly. Now, I'm going to start backwards and move this thing forward so you understand how this all fits. Today in the news, lots of stuff going on. Lots of stuff. For one, Rex Tillerson, our Secretary of State, went to Moscow. He went to Moscow, he landed in Moscow and met with first Sergei Lavrov, who is his counterpart, the foreign minister. So Russia's equivalent of the Secretary of State. And then, in fact, that meeting must have gone well enough for President Putin to make 2 hours of his time to meet with Tillerson one on one. Now, I say this is a crucial bit of information that no one really wants to acknowledge. Does Putin have an ego? Yeah, he does, right? So Putin's got an ego. He's the head of a powerful country, certainly the head of a powerful country in his view. And you could even say objectively that's the case. And there are certain protocols, right? So, you know, when a Secretary of State visits abroad, now if they go to Uganda, the U.S. Secretary of State is going to be probably welcomed by the president of Uganda on the tarmac. But when a Secretary of State of the U.S. visits another large superpower, it is not typical for that Secretary of State to be met by the president of that country. Presidents meet presidents, heads of state meet heads of state, and their deputies, their ministers, and their various secretaries meet each other. So it is interesting. It is worthy to note that Putin and Lavrov met with Tillerson when he visited. Now, I'll get to that meeting and the substance of it a little bit later, but what you need to know is that the meeting happened at the same time, right? So as soon as Tillerson is wrapping up with Lavrov, and they had that press conference. What's happening back in Washington, D.C.? Well, that's right. Trump is having a press conference with the NATO Secretary General, Jens Stoltenberg. And in this press conference, Trump drops a bomb. And the media, of course, is saying, you remember what it was? Trump says, I was wrong. NATO is no longer obsolete. Now, this is huge because, of course, that's what he'd been saying. Remember, the whole election was him banging on about NATO being obsolete. And so what is the press doing today? Yipping and yapping about how what? That Trump has done a major U-turn and who knows what his supporters are going to think and da-da-da-da-da. This is, and incidentally, Trump was very explicit about it. Now, what is NATO? NATO is the organization that was established. Its sole purpose was to band Europe together to protect Europe from the spread of Soviet, now Russian, influence. That was the purpose of NATO. So you think it's kind of interesting? There's a tough meeting. It's described in the hostile press as frosty, but I think a tough meeting. And I'll play you some of the comments coming out of it. But there's a meeting in Moscow. And do you think it was accidental that the NATO meeting was scheduled on the same day? Do you think, switching gears to China and Syria, that it was accidental that Trump launched the Tomahawk cruise missiles at Syria while he was having chocolate cake with President Xi Jinping from China? I don't know. That's a lot of coincidences. You've got to explain these away. This all ties together to the major flashpoint here, and that's North Korea. Because you're looking at all these people that are Googling World War III. I don't think that people are worried about World War III because we pissed off Bashar Assad. I don't think anybody's worried that the Syrian conflict is going to create World War III. That's not the issue. People see North Korea launching intercontinental ballistic missiles that could be armed with nuclear warheads. They see that as a problem. They see crazy mop top kid, Kim Jong-un, who, you know, what did he do to his uncle? You know, I mean, he sent his uncle out into a field and launched a mortar at him and blew him into pieces. He just, what was it, four, no, 8 weeks ago, he had his own half-brother assassinated in Malaysia at an airport. So people are concerned when a crazy man, a truly crazy person, is armed with nuclear weapons and can send them far, perhaps as far as the U.S. That's where the Google searches are coming from. And I am telling you that all these pieces, all these things that are happening, all these little meetings but significant meetings that are occurring are part of this administration's strategy to counter the North Korean menace. Do you remember when the press was given Trump hell during the campaign for some of his more extreme pronouncements? Like, for example, with China. You know, saying, we may have to rethink our relationship with China. And everybody, you know, all the business people, the business networks and CNN and even Fox News, everybody went crazy. They went bananas. Why? You can't do that. You can't say that. You can't. You know, this is preposterous. And what did I tell you here? I said Trump is a negotiator. He starts at he stakes extreme ground in a negotiation so that he has room to give things up. Well, today you saw it. Because Trump, what came out in the news today? Another little tidbit. I want to just connect all these dots for you. That's right. So President Trump had a long conversation with President Xi of China. That happened yesterday. And today, Trump announced that China is not a currency manipulator. Remember, he'd been saying this for months. if not years. And what again did the predictable press do? They gave us the same tired, you know, oh, he's a flip-flopper. He's backed off. He's going to disappoint his base. Oh, goody, Trump's done. You know when John Kerry and Obama and all and Hillary Clinton and all these clowns went to China and said, oh, China, we love you. We love you. You're the best. We want to trade with you. Free trade. That's great. Whatever you do with your currency, it's no problem. But China, can you help us with North Korea? Now, what kind of a deal have you ever gotten in your life by just being nice to somebody? It doesn't work like that in the real world, and it certainly does not work that way in a high-stakes game of international diplomacy. When you're dealing with Mop Top Kid, it doesn't work this way. What Trump did is he went into that. What do you think that the Chinese were thinking going into that meeting at Mar-a-Lago? There was if you could put a thought bubble over the Chinese delegation, what are they thinking? Crap, 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 crap. That's what they're thinking. And do you know why? Let me ask you, what part of the Chinese economy, how much of it is reliant on us, on trade with America, on American companies doing business there? It's so significant that what Trump was threatening in his rhetoric could essentially doom the entire Chinese economy. And Trump knows this. He's not the dolt that the left wants, you know, us, you and I, to believe that he is. And that was his ace. That was his trading card. And this is what explains why we are not going to go into this conflict. Why this North Korea thing is going to get fixed without a shot being fired. Because I've got some great clips to back all this up, and I'll play them for you in the next segment. But the reason that this is not going to turn into a doomsday scenario is in order to get where we need to go with North Korea, you got to isolate them. And the first thing that happened today is that China, for the first time, stopped sending coal shipments to North Korea. By the way, they don't have coal. They don't got anything. Their command economy, run by the craziest of crazy communists, is in the toilet. They're out of money. Their military is antiquated. And now they risk losing, think about this, they risk losing their only true friend in the world, China. Because those coal ships stopped dead in their tracks the day that Trump had the phone call where he clearly gave something up to China. All the pieces of this fit together. Meanwhile, again, look at this. 59 missiles fired into Syria. We've gone over it. We've talked about it. Demonstrated early on from the get-go, before he completed his meetings with China, before our meetings with Russia, before our meetings with NATO, before all of this, Trump showed that he was willing to act. And he also showed that he was unpredictable. These are chess moves. They're being carried out deliberately with forethought, and there's a plan. You don't have to like Trump. I get it. A lot of people don't, but you cannot dismiss him as a buffoon. And my last point, in all of this, I'll tell you. So I see behind a lot of these moves, I see Mattis in this, who's a brilliant tactician. He understands, he truly has a grasp of geopolitical world. He's not just a military guy. And Trump got to where he is. I always told you this because as a businessman, look, you want to talk about his taxes? Trump didn't do his own taxes. He hired the best accountant. He didn't build his own building by swinging a hammer. He hired the best contractor. The guy like Trump hires the best people in the right places and gets them to do incredible things. And you're seeing that unfold right now. Do not dismiss it. All right, I'm going to play you, I'll play you one clip right as we come back that totally and accurately sums all this up. Well, so stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
I was dying of laughter. I saw this headline today that Trump was threatening to send in SEAL Team 6 to take out North Korea's dictator, Kim Jong-un. You know, when you take a pudgy, paranoid, schizophrenic mass murderer and you put it in his head that you might be sending the elite, assassination squad that took out Osama bin Laden. Do you understand that that's psychological warfare right there? I mean, it's a brilliant move. All right, Sam Rzhovsky here, 800-222-5222 if you want to be on the program. And we are making radio great again. So, yeah, that bit of that, this is all psychology. And to illustrate this point, here is Lindsey Graham, Senator Graham on CNN yesterday with Kate Baldwin. And he's talking about the Syria strike, but Senator Graham expands it and is talking really about the kind of the greater geopolitical implications of it. Have a listen.
I think this strike was a game changer. There's a new sheriff in town. Hope North Korea is watching. Let me tell you this. If I were you, I would be real reluctant to take Trump on if I were an adversary of the United States. He's very unpredictable. I think he's subject to using military force when he thinks it's justified. I would not dally at all with Trump.
Uh-uh. No, I would not. You see this? And bearing what Senator Graham just said, bearing that in mind, have a listen to Trump today at the NATO press conference with Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg when he's asked about the issue with North Korea and pay particular close attention to what he says at the very end.
We have a very big problem in North Korea, and as I said, I really think that China is going to try very hard and has already started. A lot of the coal boats have already been turned back. You saw that yesterday and today. They've been turned back. The vast amount of coal that comes out of North Korea going to China, they've turned back the boats. That's a big step, and they have many other steps that I know about. So we'll see what happens. It may be effective. It may not be effective. It's not effective. We will be effective. I can promise you that.
If it's not effective, we will be effective. I can promise you that. And you know why those words are not hot air? Because as we speak, there is an entire flotilla of U.S. battleships, aircraft carriers, and nuclear-powered submarines that are headed for North Korean waters. Peace through strength, folks. So, and if you listen to the early part of what he was saying, you hear a clue about what's been going on with China. Because as I was telling you, one of the big news stories today was that Trump stood up and said, China's really not a currency manipulator, and we intend to have bilateral trade with China and maintain good relations, et cetera, et cetera. And in the press, it was just, you would have thought that he basically had changed party affiliations to Democrat and had joined the National Organization of Women. I mean, the outcry was incredible. And the point I'm making is that these were always chips that he was intending to hold and use to trade, to barter with the Chi-Coms to get them to do what? To help him when needed. See, something that we have forgotten in this country for some years is that you cannot go at stuff alone. It's best when you have allies. And those allies don't have to be people that you're bosom buddies with. They can be people like the sneaky Russians. But you have to find ways of co-opting them. And, you know, you got to be a little coercive. You cannot simply go into a meeting, plus press a plastic reset button. You know, slap the foreign minister of Russia on the back or the Chinese premier or whomever and say, hey, let's be friends. No, it does not work that way. All right. More on this palace intrigue. And I'm going to tell you, I've got to talk a little bit about North Korea. I tell you why this is not going to end well for North Korea at all in any way, shape or form. Now, up next is my friend, John Wolfe with KBC News. Back after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Bottom of the hour, and we are moving right along discussing North Korea. Now, I want to break this down a little bit better for you, I think. See, the whole reason, you're probably wondering, where does China fit into this equation? Where does Russia fit in? You know, probably everything in life can be taken back to, middle school, high school. North Korea is like the scrawny kid on the playground. Aggressive, kind of weird, erratic, potentially aggressive, but scrawny. And that kid has a really good friend. And that really good friend is one of those overdeveloped seventh graders. You know, the guy that's 6 feet tall and 200 pounds and just huge and can level anyone that comes up to him. So North Korea is like this little scrawny kid walking with this giant, bear of a protector around. And that protector has been traditionally for years and years China. And this dates back, by the way, to the Korean War. I mean, this is the reason that North Korea, by the way, would have lost the Korean War. You know, we had American allied troops had pushed North Korean forces all the way to the Chinese border. Who came and saved North Korea and pushed them back down to the 38th parallel? Who was it? It was China. Because China wants a buffer between South Korea, which is considered the West, and itself. And so China's always been the protector of North Korea. Traditionally, it's always propped up the North Korean economy. Now, China and North Korea are two very different countries philosophically, even though they are both communist. China, many years ago, decided that it would adopt a capitalist system, a modified communism. So they had free markets and they opened their economy to foreign investment and they became very wealthy. And North Korea did almost exactly the opposite. It's called the Hermit Kingdom. They closed their borders. They don't even let people leave North Korea and go to China. In fact, very often North Koreans escape, try to get to China, swimming across the river because conditions in China are so much better. People are so poor, there isn't food in North Korea. You want to talk about their army? They're starving. Literally is the scrawny kid on the playground being protected by a giant of a country, China. So when Trump is trying to win over China, this is a policy that we ought to have adopted for years ago. Allowing North Korea to get as far as they have with their nuclear program has been a catastrophe. Without nuclear weapons, they're really not much of a threat, and they recognize that, which is why North Korea has pushed and pushed and pushed and gotten so many concessions from us over the years. Where we've, abdicated the role and tried to go to the UN and have the UN, it's all nonsense. It all comes down to China. What we need to do, and it's happening here, it's happening by, you know, things like Trump threatening to cut our economy off from China, and China being forced to backpedal and say, please, no, really, United States, we want to work with you. And Trump's saying, okay, we'll keep our trade going, but you've got to cut it out with North Korea. And so like that kid on the playground, nobody would touch him because, you know, he's got a big bully with him. But now we're co-opting the big bully. We're getting the big bully to say, you know, maybe I'm not going to sacrifice my own good for this scrawny kid over here. Things are changing, and it's putting the pressure on North Korea. It's the only way to get things done. You do not get through to dictators by saying nice things to them and sending them love letters. All right. We'll be back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
President flips on NATO, China, Russia, and Syria. That's the headline right now on CNN.com. Sam Rzhovsky here. You see what I'm saying? The point is not that he's... You got to understand there's a reason for these tactical maneuvers that he's making. Call them flips, whatever you want. But he's making these maneuvers to help. It's all part of the plan. He's got his Trump's thing is you stake an extreme position so that you then have things to give up. And he's doing that. Now, the meeting with Lavrov, Tillerson, I'm already seeing news reports of this being hailed a failure, or that it was a frosty reception or whatnot. What? It just barely happened. And like I said earlier, 2 hours, over 2 hours of FaceTime with President Putin. It can't be insignificant. Now, here is a clip that has been really misconstrued today in the media. I want to play it for you with an explanation. This is Rex Tillerson speaking just after he met with Lavrov at the joint press conference inside the Kremlin. Have a listen.
We just came from a productive meeting, as you heard Foreign Minister Lavrov mention, of about 2 hours with President Putin. We frankly discussed the current state of U.S.-Russia relations. I expressed the view that the current state of U.S.-Russia relations is at a low point. There is a low level of trust between our two countries. The world's two foremost nuclear powers cannot have this kind of relationship. We further discussed approaches to improving our channels of communication. We understand that improvement in the long-term relationship will be required if we are to make progress on issues where we have different views.
All right. And this clip now, this particular section, got turned into a headline all over, even on Fox, that Russian-U.S. relations are at an all-time worst low ever. Did you hear that today? Good. Well, did people forget the Cuban Missile Crisis? Because I'm pretty dang sure that actually at some point in time, some relatively reasonable Americans were busy building bomb shelters in their backyards. See how quickly we forget history? The point of this is, Tillerson, when I'm reading this and I'm listening to this clip, he didn't go into it. He didn't give anything up. He said, we frankly discussed the current state of U.S.-Russia relations. He didn't try to make it rosy or promise him anything or give anything up. He just went into it and held his ground. But in turn, that meeting went well enough to bring Putin into the room, meaning that the junior negotiators, right, the cabinet members, representing their respective governments, did well enough to warrant that one of the principals unilaterally show up, namely the president himself of Russia. Now, I'm telling you this. The president of Russia doesn't show up if the meeting's going terribly. He doesn't. If Lavrov, you know, shoots him a message and says, this is a joke. This guy is a clown. We're not getting anywhere. Okay? But then at the same time, I don't hear anything in the statement that tells me that they're, you know, that the U.S. and that the Trump administration is giving anything up either. Russians especially, they respect strength. Putin respects strength. And coming at him strong, Tillerson today did what 4 years of John Kerry, 4 years of Hillary Clinton, no chance, nothing, not even close. This was statesmanship. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're probably wondering, what are Trump supporters thinking about all this? What are the Make America Great Again people thinking? I'm going to tell you what they're thinking when we come back. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
I heard today sweet James Bergner doing an interview somewhere about the United Airlines fiasco. And the reporter, the host, whoever it was, asked him what he would ask on behalf, if he was representing the guy that was booted from the United flight, what he would ask, what he would demand that the airline pay him, pay his client. And he said $50 million. Now, you know what? You know, I'll tell you something about that. I bet that when you get into an accident, you or a loved one, for starters, you don't even know what to ask for. You don't even know how much your case is worth. So why try to do it on your own? It's a bad idea. That's what it is. Bad idea. Get a lawyer that you trust that knows what he's doing, that has a team of professionals behind him, and that can take you and your case to victory. Okay? It's simple. Make one call, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. You can go to his website, sweetjames.com, and make sure you get some quality legal advice. And as always, no recovery, no fee. You don't pay until you get the settlement at the end. All right. 800-881-2021. Don't forget that number. Sam Rzhovsky here. What do you think these Trump supporters are thinking? Because I tell you right now, it doesn't matter if you go to Breitbart or you go to CNN, they're all trashing Trump. Ann Coulter has a piece that just hit, Lassie, come home. We want a president of America, not a president of the world. Here's something that Ann Coulter's missing in all of this. You know what Trump supporters wanted? You know what they fundamentally wanted? They wanted somebody who was just a bad A president. That's what they wanted. We had 8 years of a totally effeminate pushover weakling of an apologist in chief. You know, part of making America great again is being a strong country that people don't mess with. Listen to this clip and tell me if you think that this... Tell me, just picture yourself. Maybe you're not a Trump supporter, but just put yourself in the minds of someone who's sick of Obama pushing, letting our country get pushed around. Tell me what you think of these words. Clip 19. This is Trump.
We are sending an armada. Very powerful. We have...
Talking about North Korea.
Submarines. Very powerful. Far more powerful than the aircraft carrier, that I can tell you. And we have... the best military people on earth. And I will say this, he is doing the wrong thing. He's making.
That is it. Do you understand? When was the last time that you had Obama or even, you know, even Bush? I don't know. Like, it. Yeah, he invaded Iraq and, you know, big moves, you know, but See, this is what people, I'm telling you, Trump supporters, I can't tell you about every single one of them, but I understand the mentality here, and they're loving this. They're eating it up. We're making big, bold moves. We're getting respected. Even President Putin made a little bit of time for our Secretary of State today. Fat chance that would have happened back in the old regime days. All right. I'm actually going on the road starting now, headed to New York. I'll be coming to you live from New York City tomorrow night and Friday. So tune in. That should be fun. And as always, I always say I bring the show with me wherever I go in the world. So talk to you tomorrow from New York. Looking forward to that. Have a great night. We got KBC News with John Wolf up next. See you later.
Talk Radio 790. KABC.